You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
So guys, it's now time to head straight into Safety Mondays, which we do every Mondays right here on Freedom 106.5 FM on the Overdrive specifically. Yeah, with Fire Officer Jude Rogers. And today we are going to talk about electrical safety. Because listen, we just do real stupidness, you know. Real stupidness. So this is the program where we'll get to learn what is the right thing to do. How I sound there, Fire Officer Jude? How I sound there? I sound like a boss? I sound like a fire officer? What do you think?
You're getting closer and closer to the real thing every week.
Big up me. Hi, Jude. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing wonderful this afternoon. And you know, I want to tell you something, Caribbean. I want to tell you that if you can't take the heat, get out.
All the way out. Well, I mean, I had no AC in my car, so I had to stay somewhere. Right? I will stay right here. The AC working here.
Harvey, you know, I'm reminded of a time when, you know, we in Trinidad and Tobago, we, you know, AC was a luxury.
A luxury. Now, but it's a necessity now. Just saying. I don't even want to drive my car, Jude.
Is it that it's gotten hotter, or is it that our tolerance for heat has been removed?
Whatever it is, it's not right. It is not right. I never do anything to anybody, so it's not right. But okay. I know we have a very special guest with us today, Fire Officer Jude.
Yeah, we have with us, luckily, we're blessed to have, and I always promise you that I'm going to bring relevant guests and relevant persons to the program that can add value to the message and to bringing home that message to each and every one of you, because I know we have some really loyal listeners.
Yeah.
And so with us this afternoon is none other than Fire Officer Avinash Bechan.
Hi, Fire Officer Bechan. How you doing? Welcome to Freedom.
So he's new to the program, and I'm getting him accustomed to the technology.
Aww. Okay.
I just want to make sure.
I thought he was shy.
Online.
Yeah, he's here. He's here already. I thought he was shy. Are you shy, Avinash? Are you shy?
No, I'm not. Good afternoon, everyone. How everyone is doing tonight?
We good, Matt. And I'm not going to say we don't bite on Mondays.
Carrie. We have a very, very serious topic to deal with this afternoon.
Mm-hmm.
And I know, you know, when we get into it, the time runs away from us. So
yeah.
I really wanted to get, and let me just introduce Mr. Bechan and what his skill set is. Within the fire prevention department, we do have the benefit of someone who has his electrical wireman's license.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the license that is granted to persons by the electrical inspectorate, who has the competency necessary to wire houses and to also do that those installations. And so he has a wealth of knowledge that I want him to bring to bear to some of the very potent questions that, you know, salient questions that we've been asking where electrical safety is concerned.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to hand over to him directly, and you can, you know, feel free to ask him anything that you want to ask Gary V. He's going to answer those questions for you this afternoon as the subject matter expert.
Gotcha. Thank you so much. And Fire Officer Avinash, thank you so much for joining us on Freedom 106.5 FM today. And let me remind our listeners, of course, you can get into the conversation 306-1065. Send us a voice note, send us a WhatsApp message, or you can even give us a call at 625-2257. Because today, we are going to talk about electrical safety. And this is very important to not only myself, to not only Fire Officer Jude Rogers or even Fire Officer Avinash, but to you as well. All right? So get into the conversation. So let's jump straight into it. Now, can I call you Avinash?
Yes, you can, surely.
Nice. So Avinash, when we talk about electrical safety, right, what are the most common mistakes we make in Trinidad and Tobago, we make here in homes right now when it comes to electrical safety? What are some of the most common mistakes?
Some of the most common mistakes, Carrie, we always use extension cords for prolonged periods of time. We run it under door, around doorway, under doorways, under rugs. It's not to be used for any long period of time. If you really need a plug at that area, you need to have a qualified electrician come and install one for you.
Wow.
Also, another common issue we face more so in the fire service doing investigations, a lot of people do a lot of overloading. And me and Officer Rogers were speaking this afternoon about the surge protectors, the so-called surge protectors we are accustomed using for lengthy periods. We plug it and we leave it there. We keep on adding on devices. Normally in household circuits, the plug circuit is normally be rated at 20 amps.
Right.
And we keep on adding on because of the six circuit outlet or surge protector, as we call it.
Mm-hmm.
It does not even have some of these don't even have any sort of surge protecting ability.
Right.
Just basically is giving you a multi-tapping facet.
Right.
Just giving you an avenue to add on. And sometimes, as trainees, we don't know the end. Until it's too late,
definitely. And you know, we only take action when something happens, right? We are very, very reactive. Now, Avinash, based on your experience as a fire prevention officer and a certified electrician, right? I just want to make sure I got it correctly. How often do electrical issues actually lead to fires? Tell our listeners how pertinent or how important it is to understand how easy, you know, fires start, especially electrical fires.
Fires in our section in fire prevention, we investigate a lot of fires, and I could safely say more than 60-75% of these fires are electrical in nature or related and ignited by an electrical source. So it speaks to, we as a people need to be more cognizant of the fact that we have to be aware of the dangers, the hazards that are associated with electricity.
Wow. So you see, guys, get into the conversation. I know you have some questions for us because electrical fires is not no kind of easy thing, you know. All right. Now, Avinash, let's get back into it. Are electrical fires increasing, decreasing, or even staying about the same in recent years?
And actually in recent years, it is increasing, because I will say we have more proliferation of a lot of devices, laptops, cell phones, some of them with lithium-ion batteries. I'm sure Officer Rogers could allude to the fact he probably spoke about this numerous times on this program. Other devices like even televisions, microwaves, kitchen appliances, any electrical device has a heat-producing medium, because electricity by itself could generate heat.
Right, yeah. I remember Fire Officer Jude mentioned that before. Guys, get into the conversation, 306-1065 or 625-2257 or 627-3223, because right now we are talking about electrical safety. And you remember, we have been speaking about this for some time, but with us, we have Avinash here. He's also a fire prevention officer, and he's also certified in electrical. Yeah. Okay, so we got this message here. Let me say good afternoon. Going out to Diego Martin. Diego Martin says, Carrie V, good afternoon to you. Good afternoon to the fire officers. How critical for the accumulation of dust or cobwebs on these plug-in devices create a fire hazard? Oh, that's a good question. How critical for the accumulation of dust and cobwebs on these plug-in devices create a fire hazard? Does that happen?
That is a very salient point, and it needs to be noted that any devices, like a simple thing like your air conditioning unit, you said schedule a maintenance schedule for those devices, if it's every 3 months, to make sure you clean out the little dust that accumulates. Because as we were speaking, it have the propensity to generate heat.
Mm-hmm.
And without the natural ventilation or the ventilation that devices need, they will keep on building up the heat and eventually lead to a fire.
Oh, gotcha. So, thank you so much. Yeah. Thanks for clearing that up for us. And Avinash, another thing, something that we always do, and I myself do it sometimes, right? You know, leaving appliances plugged in all the time, how is that safe to do? Like, let's say, for instance, like kettles or microwaves or even chargers. Is that, how dangerous is that? I must ask.
It is really dangerous to leave devices unattended, especially even like your cell phone charger, your device laptop, or even your smart charger, your Apple Watch or smart devices. Those chargers will have a propensity to cause a fire if there's a short in the circuit or there's a short in the cord.
Right.
They will lead to, it will lead to a spark and ignite combustible material around it.
And we know
cannot see. Yeah, we can't. Sometimes we cannot see the little damage to the cords, the frayed cords or something inside the insulation.
Yeah.
So we cannot take the chance. It's a risk.
Because coming up, what I'm going to ask you about, the warning signs. But we gotta go take a quick break and be back. So stick and stay, Avinash and Fire of Sir Jude. Because, guys, this is Safety Mondays and we are talking about electrical safety. Get your questions, your comments in. Yeah, this is something that we do every Monday. We're going to take a quick break and be back with so much more. Stick and stay. Carrie V is here. I'm in a company. And it's all about Safety Mondays, which we do every Mondays right here with the Fire Officer Jude Rogers of Freedom 106.5 FM. And today we are talking about electrical safety. We are here with our very special guest this afternoon, a certified electrician and, of course, a fire prevention officer. Avinash, you're locked in. Jude, you're locked in.
Thank you, Carrie.
Yes.
I wanted to mention something.
Mm-hmm.
We neglect, as a nation, recertifying our households. So many households think you get an electrical certificate from the Ministry of Public Utilities, Government Electrical Inspectorate. Carrie, do you know how often do we need to recertify or renew our inspection certificate?
No, tell us.
It's every 5 years. Every 5 years, we need to do a re-inspection of our homes.
Our
domestic insulation, and recertify our installation to ensure that's up to the standard. Because many times, the wires itself, it degrades over time. They do a test called insulation resistance test,
mm-hmm,
to ensure that the insulation in our wiring across our home, throughout our homes, is adequate to, mm-hmm, take the electricity supply.
Understood. And thank you so much for clearing that up, Avinash. Now, I want to ask you, let's talk about, you know, home safety and even warning signs, because as you mentioned earlier, sometimes we don't really know. So what are some of the warning signs in a home that something is wrong with the electrical system? Tell us some of these signs.
Well, it's easy to know some of these signs, because sometimes we take it for granted. If you hear any funny buzzing sounds about coming from your electrical panels, any metallic kitchen appliances, or it could be non-kitchen appliances as well, any appliances that have a metallic body and you touch it, and you feel a little zing.
Yeah,
it speaks that there's something either wrong with the device, or something is wrong with your earthen and or grounding system at your home. And that's an important safety aspect of the installation.
Right. And what about, plugs have a little a dark mark on it, like if it was burnt or something like that. Is that one too?
That's a very good point. We normally see some plugs and they have the dark mark. It look blackened around it,
mm-hmm,
and we just say, "Well, that one, we don't need to use that side of the plug. Use the other side."
I've said that already, you know. Using next side.
It's a no-no. It needs to be replaced and repaired, and every daddy, uncle, they are do-it-alls. They can't do crew.
Yeah.
We are imploring on you guys to let these repairs be done by a licensed electrician.
Yeah.
A professional.
And you're absolutely right.
There's a risk involved with the repairs, as well as if it's not done properly, there's a risk associated with doing it that way.
Oh, gotcha. And what about if you're plugging in a plug and you hear a little spark or you see a little spark? What does that mean? Does it mean that we could continue using the plug or no?
Of course, that it simply means that you have a device that is engaged or energized while you're plugging it in, and there may be a problem with the device or there's a problem with the installation. So you need to have it. Don't take anything for granted.
Mm-hmm. Don't take anything for granted. You all heard that, right?
Make sure your devices are off before you plug it on.
Make sure
because
it's off.
Because if it's energized, if it's energized and you plug it on, there's a propensity that you can get shocked. And don't, when it, another thing is people, when we finish iron, we pull the cord take out the plug by pulling the cord.
Oh my gosh.
That's a no-no. That's
really?
A complete no-no because it damages the electrical cord.
You serious?
And it needs to get free, because we all are guilty of doing.
Yeah, I just do that all the time. I didn't know that was a thing. Sometimes I'm afraid to put my hand close to the plug and pull all iron. So I'll just hold it from here and just like yank it out.
And yank it. Yeah. So that's a complete no-no. It starts to damage the insulation itself,
mm-hmm.
and it may have a tendency to start the conductors
mm-hmm.
to touch and cause a short circuit.
I gotcha. Thank you so much for sharing that. And now I have, Officer Jude, I have some homework to go and do, So now I'll have to be careful. I'll have to hold it carefully and don't yank it out to carry me. I'll have to just take it out because it's something that I do all the time and I thought that it was normal, that this was okay to do. But thanks so much for sharing that with us. Let's say good afternoon to, we got a message here. Let me say good afternoon going out to June. June is locked in. Hi, June. June asks, good afternoon, guys. 5 years for residential low voltage and annual for commercial high voltage. What does that mean? Do you know what that means?
Very correct. Every year, commercial buildings as well as industrial installation needs to be inspected, but we're dealing with domestic more because they at work normally the landlord or the tenant knows their whereabouts.
Well, shouldn't
they know what they have to do? They should, but really we neglect it at home.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the time we neglect doing this, and a lot of us are guilty of, you have an electrical connection, you don't renew your certificate. In fact, anytime you do a new renovation or a new addition to your home, your building,
mm-hmm.
you need to get it re-inspected once there's an electrical facet involved, once there's electrical installation involved.
Wow. Okay.
So immediately, and it needs to be done by licensed electrician again. I need to impress that point. Not by the fly-by-night guy that said he could do it.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody out there taking contracts and doing jobs, but they're not doing the proper thing and not getting it certified by electrical inspector.
Right. Now, as you mentioned, having the electricals inspected by a certified electrician, right? It's 5 years, right? You mentioned 5 years. Does it goes the same for the average homeowner to get their electrical system checked? So having the certified electrician come and check out your panel Avinash, it goes to the entire system, that 5 years. Every five years is the entire electrical system in your home.
Yeah, once you get a certificate, let me say you got a certificate in 2020, you are due for a re-inspection.
Oh, okay.
So that's why we say we neglect doing that.
Doing it.
To do a renovation, you need to get a re-certification.
Right. Now, why is it so important to get that every 5 years? If I forget the date and things happen to go okay, but why is it so important?
It's the same thing we were saying. The age of the conductors and insulation, as well as the commission as well, TNTech needs to know how much load you taken from their system.
Oh.
So we can't keep adding and putting a drain on the existing system. And the supply cables may not be adequate to provide the power that we keep on doing additions to.
Mm. Mm.
So we installed a piece of cable, let me say a 25 millimeter three-core PVC cable back in 2015, and we did numerous additions, and we have surpassed the ability of that cable to provide the load that we need.
Right, right. Understood. And thank you so much for sharing that, Avinash. And guys, if you're not joining us, good afternoon and welcome. This is Safety Mondays with Fire Officer Jude, and we have a very special guest with us this afternoon. Certified electrician and, of course, a fire prevention officer, Avinash. And I'm calling him on a first name basis, okay? That's for me to do. Just say. Just only me. Now, Avinash, I want to find out, right? If I reach home one day and I notice lights flickering or even I'm getting a burning smell, what should I do immediately?
Immediately, once you notice lights flickering and you notice a burning smell, you should turn off your main breaker and get an electrician, a certified, licensed wiresman to do a check, a troubleshooting into your system to see what is the nature. You should not go and try to see what is happening yourself. You should not try to troubleshoot and find out the cause and then look to say, well, there's nothing, I turn off that breaker.
Yeah.
And then we'll work from there. But immediately isolate the supply and then call an electrician.
Ah, gotcha. Thank you so much. Now, someone mentioned, actually. Let me say good afternoon, going out to Torrance. Torrance say, Kyrie V, thank you for your guest. I learned the proper way because I was doing it wrong all the time. Still have people who practice the wrong thing. Well, I'm telling you, Torrance, I not even used to up to this morning, Avinash. Up to this morning, I had my top, and then I just yanked it out. I yanked it out the plug. But now I know what to do next, what to do better, so I'm going to do that. Thank you so much for sharing. Now, Avinash, let's get down to children and families and, you know, living daily, because sometimes we bypass these things. Eh? For families with young children, what are the biggest electrical dangers parents should watch out for?
You know, normally, especially toddlers, they have the inquisitive side to them. They love to put anything in an outlet or something.
Mm-hmm.
There are protectors selling for child protection.
Yeah.
For those duplex outlets around your home, your plug outlets, to protect them from the child interfering, tampering with them.
Right.
And a child should not be allowed without supervision to plug in any device or do any sort of nickering and anything around an electrical source.
Mm-hmm. Because
Carvey, may I add something to
that? Yeah, sure.
All of our children now have tablets and devices.
And they always want to go and charge it.
All right. So, and they sometimes we plug those in, and guess where they put them to store them? They store them on a bed. They store them on something that is cloth-based or something that doesn't allow the unit to be ventilated. And that can also cause the buildup of heat in the device. And we've actually had fires where laptops stored on beds have actually burnt. You saw where the burn mark around the space where the laptop was, and that initiated the fire. So if those things malfunction, they're attached to fabric. And we love to function. Guess what? On the couch, phone stuck in the couch, stuck on the bed, any impossible way, and I know it's a common thing that happens with kids.
Yeah. Now, and I want to add to that, Fife, Sir Jude, you know, it's only when I started this show and when we spoke about that, having your phone charging on the bed. After we spoke about it that day, you know, up to this day, I have my phone charging on a little table at the side. You know that? I learn things. Thank you so much, Fire Officer Jude. Now, Avinash, another thing. Let's talk about, you know, sometimes when it rains, it floods, right?
Yeah.
We deal with heavy rain and flooding here. How does water impact electrical safety as well? And if our homes are flooded at any particular time, what is the first step we should do when it comes to our electrical safety?
Again, Harry, That's a wonderful question. And we are in Trinidad. A lot of us are at risk of flooding, especially when rain falls heavily for a prolonged period. We immediately, at the first sign of any rising flood water going, it don't even have to come close to your plug outlets or any electrical source, because you know we have gate motors now,
mm-hmm.
outdoor,
yeah,
and those are low. So as the first sign of any rising flood waters or even notices by the Met Office, we should try to isolate supply one time. Mm-hmm. When we know we are at risk, we take off those devices, turn them off at the main panel.
Right.
Last resort is to switch off our main electrical circuit breaker when that time of the rising flood waters reaches too high that we cannot use any plug outlets and lights at all.
Hey, thanks so much for sharing that. And all. You know, I just forgot about the gates, our gates that it's operated by a motor. Look how you just bring that up and I forget that, yes? I forget that, you know. But thanks so much for sharing that, Avinash. We are getting a call. So let's take it. Let's hear who's there and let's check online too. Hello, good afternoon.
Hi, Gary.
Hey, Michael Jackson. What's up?
How are you going?
Hi there, man.
What's up? Good evening. Enjoy the job you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy Paul Dry Nice. I want to hear to my fans. Hello to you and Bartaria. And I want to hear to you, right?
All right, buddy. I got you. All right, no problems. Hey, you're not turning on your radio. We're going out you. We're talking fire and electrical safety here, boy. What's wrong? But thanks so much for your call, same way Michael Jackson. That was Michael Jackson, Avinash. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, it's okay.
Celebrity in the house.
He is a celebrity. No.
Yeah, we have a lot of characters here.
A lot.
And we enjoy them every evening.
I love them every afternoon.
Love our fans.
Now, Avinash, after flooding, what should homeowners never do when it comes to electricity?
We cannot take for granted, wonderful question again, we cannot take for granted the system is able to use right after the flood.
Hmm.
We cannot just say, all right, these flood waters have subsided, let us turn on back the breaker, because water and electricity does not mix. We know that.
True.
Water and electricity do not go well together.
Yeah.
So there will be residual moisture in the devices and the plug outlets, probably depending on how high the flood water is, the switch outlets, switch boxes, even the little connection, the pull boxes that we connect the wires in, they may be low. So we cannot take for granted that all the water has dried out and it's completely ready to go when we turn on back the breaker. It may cause an electrical short. It will cause more damage than anything good.
I gotcha.
So
thank you so much.
Checked properly.
Ensure that it's checked properly. So guys, you heard that, right? Let me just do the correct thing now. Let's be responsible, okay? I'm here with the certified electrician and of course a fire prevention officer, Avinash. He's here alongside the fire officer Jude Rogers. This is Safety Mondays. And we are talking about electrical safety. Avinash, our next one here. I have real questions, you know, because I just ask real questions, Avinash. No, you know how we always have some kind of power outage sometimes? Sometimes we sit down there, we on our phones, it has lights like that, and then power gone, and then it come back on. What are some of the risks when electricity comes back on? What should we do or what should we not do?
Really and truly, what's supposed to happen when electricity goes, we should, you see, normally, sometimes the electricity goes and our TV comes back on as soon as it comes back.
Yeah.
Our AC comes back on, our refrigerator and things. These devices are already connected to the supply. And it would cause a problem if it has a surge, a sudden inrush of electricity where there was none. Could be a problem with the devices probably immediately or later on.
Mm-hmm.
So what should be done, as soon as electricity goes, what we could do, we could unplug some devices that we know would have a risk. Unplug them or turn off the main breaker.
Mm-hmm.
But if we turn off the main breaker, you have to look out to see when the streetlight come back on.
Yeah, but yeah.
Or when your neighbor get back electricity.
Yeah, I agree.
You can notice from GNTech.
Yeah, I gotcha.
But we shouldn't take it for granted that it is a problem when electricity comes back on, and it will come back on in a rush to damage some devices.
Mm-hmm.
Normally, it does not happen. thankfully, we have a good commission. Now, we have to implore people to put some protection on your devices as well, because these devices cost money. So there are surge protection for certain devices like your refrigerator, your TV, your microwave. It's a little small device that you just plug it onto the plug, onto the outlet on your wall, and your TV or your refrigerator or your washing machine even would plug into this.
Yeah.
And it will protect you in case there's a voltage drop.
I gotcha. Thank you so much. Another one. And now it's just about 10 minutes away from 6 p.m. I know we have about 5 minutes again with you guys, but I want to see how much I can get into this thing. I want to talk about emergency response and what to do. Now, if an electrical fire starts, what is the first thing someone should do, Avinash?
The first thing. This is the more fire training in this aspect. The first thing, electricity has a class of its own. It's class C in our system. And in extinguishers, we call electricity class C. And it's easy to remember because C, we could you could use the acronym current, right?
As soon as
you de-energize the device, it becomes an ordinary combustible, which becomes a class A. So we were saying we cannot use water to extinguish any electrical device, obviously, for obvious reason, while it's energized. But once we de-energize the supply, we isolate the supply, we could use a normal extinguishing medium. But we implore people to get, especially if you have your nice multimedia in your home, you have a TV which worth thousands of dollars, your Xbox 5. You know, these items are worth a lot of money. Your sound systems. We implore people with these expensive equipment, they get a CO2 extinguisher. Yeah, these extinguishers are especially for electrical fires.
Thank you so much. Targets the fire at its source
without damaging the device after. If it can be repaired, it could be repaired, and as well as it wouldn't damage any other existing devices nearby.
Now, Avinash, about the electrical fires, right? At what point should someone just stop trying to extinguish a fire and just get out of the house? For an electrical fire, that is. At what point? That might be a hard question because I want to use real CO2 here. I want to use real thing, but when is time to stop? If I realize that something in.
Officer Rogers, you want to come in here?
I'm so proud about both of you all because the kind of questions that I see coming across there. All right, so Carvey, what we wanna identify is fires really are about what is actually burning. Now, a fire might be initiated by the electrical source or by the heat generated by electricity, but what actually ignites may be the curtain, the wardrobe, and so forth. And so, Carvey, we have a lot of experience with this, you know. And so It sometimes is difficult when the fire reaches the ceiling or it begins to engulf the majority of combustible items in that room. And I want to say this to persons who all like to hoard and who like to store, carry every single thing up to the ceiling in their room.
Fix
it. And that means that you have a high fire loading in your room. And then you go into some rooms and you realize that everything is in its correct place. There are minimal stuff all around. There's not a lot of, you know, stuff scattered in the corners, clothing. All of these factors add to the acceleration of fires within a room. So my key in point, if one extinguisher is unable to extinguish the fire, you need to get out.
Get out. Like the movie Get Out. You saw that, right? So if one extinguisher cannot extinguish that, get out. Don't waste your time. And don't go and throw no water on the people thing for me, please.
Absolutely not.
Because you know that the first thing. We like to do that. Throw water. No.
On an electrical base fire.
I gotcha. Now, last one. We have 2 minutes away before we close off today's edition. Avinash, and this one is for you. If you could give every household in TNT just one piece of advice about electrical safety, what would it be?
It would be actually to inspect your homes. Make sure you can even do a routine check of your devices. Inspect your homes, check your cords, make sure they are not frayed, especially your charger cords, the appliance cords, they are not frayed. And as well as, please do not unplug your cords by pulling them.
God,
do not damage your devices.
That fall in my garden, there, boy.
Have extension cords running on the doorways, and inspect the installation every five years. When it's up for inspection.
Definitely. Avinash, thank you so much. Thanks a million. Thank you so much, Jude, for bringing Avinash here, you know, because listen, I learned something today, Jude. So you see, when I'm going and iron my clothes later, and not yanking it out of the plug. And listen, I know you yank it as well. So you are listening to me and you're not finished ironing your clothes, you know. Don't yank out the plug. So Avinash, thank you so much for joining us today. I hope one day we have you back again. It was amazing. Fire Officer Jude.
Thank you so much, Carrie.
Next Monday, same time, same place, we'll do it again.
Definitely. Thank you so much, Carrie, for having us. And you can look forward to us bringing on other well-suited fire officers who are knowledgeable in their field. And I want to pay kudos to all the men and women of the fire service. I cannot thank you enough for being our heroes. And listen, this is me tooting the horn of every fire officer.
I am not apologizing
for that. They put in the work, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. I tell you, much of it is done very in the silent and in the background. You would not see us stepping up with our hands in the air for any prizes, but we're there doing the work day in and day out. So I tip my hat to you, my friend Avinash, and to all the men and women in the Trinidad and Tobago Fire Service, especially ones who have passed recently. I want to pay homage to all our fallen soldiers. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much, Fire Officer Jude, and of course, yourself, Avinash. Thanks so much for joining us. Next time, we'll do it again. Have a safe one.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.